Hey, we're back again with a very special guest. And she was on our show one time before, and a lot of you had a lot of questions. And she's back again. Go ahead, say it.
What we would like to do is, like we did the first time, just ask you to introduce yourself to our audience in your own words. Just tell them about you and what do you do for a living.
Absolutely. So my name is Dr. Anna Maria Mihalcea. I am a board-certified internal medicine physician, and I have an anti-aging clinic, and I was part of an international team that looked at the contents of the Pfizer vials. And since then, I've been researching ever since. I've been looking at people's blood, and I've been finding self-assembling nanotechnology. And so from there's all these revelations and different levels of research about why is it there, what is it doing, and all these things. So basically, it has opened up many, many different areas of investigation. And so I write my Substack, and I just endeavor to inform people about it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate all the work
Thank
that
you.
you do. You're so informed on everything. And I learned so much from you. Before we get started, can you explain to our listeners what nanotechnology is?
Nanotechnology is really dependent on the size of something. So nano means a billionth of a meter. It's so small you can't even see it with a regular microscope. And literally, it's so small that if somebody was to disperse nanomaterials into the air, it would be like a gas entering through your skin. And we also inhale it because they're spraying it on us via geoengineering. So it's just super, super tiny particles.
Wow. Okay, can you talk to us about your latest findings when it comes to self-assembly nanotechnology?
Yes, so there's been quite a bit of things. I'll show you just a couple images, and if you let me share my screen, then I can just kind of talk about this. So I was endeavoring to figure out what is really the platform that they're using, and there's this stuff called hydrogel, and it in itself self-assembles. So if you look right behind me, you see this big filament that is behind me, and that literally is a piece of nanotechnology that started to grow from a very, very small scale to a larger scale. So this right here is kind of a very interesting subject because someone sent me this after geoengineering spraying from California. And they said, it was like this very dense material and dense fibers. And it turns out that this is what's called spider silk. And the reason why this is so interesting, and I've looked at this under the microscope, is that spider silk is a type of a polymer that actually is extremely tough. So they're building like armor from it for the military. And it's as strong as steel, and it's a type of a protein. And the reason why I was interested in it was because the chemical component that it is, it's a polyamide. And it turns out that in all of our life blood analysis of the vaccinated and unvaccinated blood and of the rubbery clots, these polyamides showed up. Polyamides can be silk, nylon, or wool. And so then what happened was I just found this out, that there is this very, very credentialed immunologist and vaccinologist by the name of Dr. Spicer, and he actually analyzed some of the DNA that they found in the vials. And guess what? It has a gene in it to encode for this spider silk. In fact, it's called a dragline silk, the strongest type of this spider silk. So, what was interesting about it, because I was also I had analyzed these rubbery clots that came out of deceased vaccinated people. And Clifford Carnicum and I, we tried to dissolve it like with petroleum and all kinds of caustic chemicals like lye and toluene and and deed and stripper, nothing would break these down. And this actually explains it, and it confirms my research. And so literally, he did this gene sequencing. So the issue with that is, if this assembles in a human body, regular blood thinners will do nothing for this, okay? Mm. And so the people that are getting these clots, they literally have this synthetic material now in their body. And then the other thing that was really interesting lately was that I was contacted by a former DoD contractor, Dr. Justin Coy, and he brought me a UV light into the office. And he said, "Dr. Anna, you need to look at this, because this right here is an individual you see at regular light, nothing, you can't see anything. But this person was injected with Moderna and also had 3 PCRs. So you can see the skin is completely normal. So if we just kind of fast forward this and turn on the UV light, you see this person is glowing."
Wow.
And this glow can come from either, a genetic use of the luciferase, or it can come from quantum dot material, because I've now seen this in people. So it starts around the nose, and then it will move upwards, and just the entire forehead will be like totally like this. And it turns out that they did actually this test on nanoparticles with animals, with mice. And the way they figured out if the mice had nanoparticles in them, they were shining this UV light on them, and their forehead would start glowing orange, exactly like that, right?
Wow.
So, but then, this isn't like the only thing, because he brought me these filaments, and he brought me this little tiny jar, and you see these filaments, you can't really see a whole lot, but if you shine the UV light on it, here are these filaments, and they're fluorescent. And I analyzed them under a microscope, and it turns out that this came out of a vaccinated individual after they took a hot shower, and they were just shining the light on them, and here are those filaments coming out of the skin, just like when with Morgellons. And here's a video of him holding his finger to this thing, and you can see that it's like artificially conscious in a way, that literally, it knows that here's the biophotons, and it starts to latch onto it. So that's exactly what Morgellons fibers does. For those who don't know what Morgellons is, that, for 30 years, they used to spray this from via geoengineering, and there were these people, they were called crazy, but they had these filaments come out of their skin. And here you see, it even knows this is a hair. It knows to attach to it. So you can see that clearly it has an affinity to human tissue.
Wow.
And so this is kind of more of the picture of what I've been seeing with all of this, self-assembling nanotechnology, the nanorobotics, and I'm just going to show you just a couple of images of this, because the reason why I paid attention to the fluorescent light in the face was because, in 2019, Bill Gates and a bunch of other people, there was this quantum dot tattoo that holds the vaccination record in the skin. And how did they do it? They used these copper-based quantum dots that are fluorescent. And it's invisible under the naked eye, but it can be, for example, read by a smartphone. So
wow.
When you have all this crazy surveillance, they want to do the digital ID and all of that stuff, how they're going to, identify who's vaccinated and who isn't? Well, they're going to do it with a fluorescent quantum dot. And so I just thought that was really, really interesting and definitely concerning. And, it's a very visual way of kind of saying, hey, there's something isn't right here with all of the things that we've been seeing, and that maybe we should be paying attention to the nanotechnology part.
Wow.
So just a reminder for everybody, this was the first time I looked at the Pfizer vial. What you see is all of these blinking lights. So these is our quantum robots, nano robots and micro robots, and they're blinking, they're talking to each other with light. And they're building this metallic-like object. And the reason why this is important to really note that this is what this self-assembly is like, because these robots is what I then later saw in people's blood. And people initially were seeing it in vaccinated blood, but I started seeing it in everyone unvaccinated. So what you can see here, you see this is blood, and that's the robot right here. So you see that how it's blinking, it's interacting with this other little robot, and it's just floating around in the blood. Now, why is this important? Is number one, it's attacking the red blood cells, but this thing is communicating with your cell phone, and it's sending your biometric data from inside of your body to the cell phone and then to the cloud. This is normal. Nothing in the body is supposed to be blinking or, you know, emitting light like this.
Wow.
And so, you know, so this was another vaccinated individual who was unvaccinated, who was exposed to shedding. And in the Pfizer documents, it says, you know, if you inhale the air around somebody who got the shot, it said if a man inhales the air around a woman who got the shot, that man can transfer the vaccine to another unvaccinated woman. So just inhaling the air, it goes through the air, okay? And that's how people have been contaminated, and this is why there are no pure bloods anymore. So what you see here is an unvaccinated person, and this is a nanorobotic swarm, okay? This is just all of these little things, a little tiny robots, exactly like Klaus Schwab said, that one day there will be robots self-assembling in the humanity's blood, and they won't even know about it, and it will transform them from the inside. And what you see here is that literally these robots, their batteries are the red blood cells. They are hijacking the life force from the red blood cells, and when they do, that what you got left is just dead cells and a rubbery clot, and they move on and build something else. So nothing in the body, you know, I studied anatomy and physiology, I swear to you, nothing in the body is supposed to blink green, blue, orange, or red. It doesn't belong there, okay? Anybody can understand that, okay? So, you know, that's basically what then also assembles these large fibers. And here you see a filament, and you see how this robot is emitting blue light. The reason why that's important is because you don't need CRISPR, and you don't need to splice genes. Optogenetics says you can manipulate anybody's DNA with blue light. So you got that stuff floating around in your body, it can genetically modify anybody.
Wow.
And it builds these fibers, and the fibers contain the robot. So they're literally, they're building something called a mesogen. A mesogen is a DNA sensor that is a piece of technology. So basically, you know, this is just kind of a brief, you know, brief introduction or update, you know, and the reason why it's important for people to understand, and I know you like to ask questions too, is, you know, in Australia, they just passed the digital identity. In America, they're trying to do this social credit score, and how is that all going to work with this technology? And if people don't know about it, that's a problem.
Right. Wow. Okay, so...
Okay, so the robot, so to speak, that's in your blood is supposed to communicate with your cell phone. Do we know exactly what it's supposed to be communicating to our cell phones at this point?
Yeah, so you know, what is the point of this? There was this association of engineers, it's called the IEEE, and they developed in early 2000s this intra-body area network, and it was to basically get all of this data from inside of the body and send it to the cloud. And ultimately what they want to do is create a digital twin of you that breathes exactly like you, has the same vital signs, you know, all of your thoughts can be uploaded to that cloud. And then, but this stuff is bidirectional. What that means is that robot, if it can send something, it can also receive a signal. It can, you know, they can send a signal through your cell phone that all of a sudden gives you corona. They actually had studies on that and said that corona is nothing else but an intra-body area network hacking. Somebody hacked it and sent you a signal via GPS through your cell phone.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so at this point, is unvaccinated blood and vaccinated blood pretty much the same thing? At this point, everybody has dirty blood, pretty much.
So everybody's got dirty blood, but there was a difference between the vaccine and the unvaxxed blood that we found. So Clifford Cronicum and I, we did experiments, and we use frequency from 0 to 25,000 hertz, and at 4 hertz, the vaccinated blood is extremely sensitive. What is 4 hertz frequency? That's HARP, High Active Auroral Research Project. It is for use for weather warfare, but they have an ambient field around the Earth, can be used for mind control, can be used to manipulate people's DNA, behavior control, all kinds of things like that. So the unvaccinated didn't have that. Everybody's got dirty blood. And what I've seen is that, you know, not everyone with dirty blood notices anything, you know. There's about maybe 30% of unvaxxed people who have a lot of symptoms. They look like they're vaccine injured. They got brain fart, heart palpitation, turbo cancers, all kinds of stuff. Right. The majority of people, they don't notice anything.
Right. Okay. Wow. All right. So, okay. I read one of your Substack. Okay. This is the one that got me. Okay. We're talking about the water, microplastics in water, and the tea bags. I just got through. So I'm trying to get better, and I've been putting tea, hot water, and tea, and I've just been drinking it. So
it was plastic tea bag. It wasn't paper tea bag.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, but can you discuss about the water and the tea also?
Yes. Okay. So what they looked at was plastic bottles, and they found per liter was 250,000 of nanoparticles, meaning you can't see them. But the problem is, so these microplastics, they are toxic to the human body. They're talons. They're endocrine disruptors. And I have found in the Moderna patent that in the shots, they have these stealth nanoparticles that are exactly like the microplastics. So in the shot, they got polyvinyl plastics. Polyvinyl alcohol is plastic. They got polyamides, which is nylon or silk. They even got polymetaacrylates, which is super glue. What the heck is super glue doing in a vaccine, okay? But what I'm saying about the microplastics is I kind of think that the reason why there's so much now being published on this right now, it's also kind of a cover-up because they're saying, oh, you know, the microplastics, they come into the body because, you know, we're environmentally polluting stuff. They're not mentioning the fact that there's self-assembling nanotechnology that is in there, but now with this DNA analysis showing the dragon, the spider silk, that's definitely of interest. So I just think that you know, we're getting it from everywhere because they want to fuse the humans with synthetic biology, with machines, and they even, you know, they're spraying it with these polymers via geoengineering, and so obviously it's going to get into the water, and it's making everyone sick, and in my mind, it's expediting the depopulation effort.
Absolutely. I know we could just see whenever we drive outside, we could just see it's like it's not we don't even see clouds anymore. It's just one big white dust just looming over everything. And you can see about what 5 or 6 airplanes just fly up and you see the trails just coming from it. Then later on you see it just hover over the sky. Like it's crazy. It's crazy.
And what's interesting about that is, you know, I'm a certified chelation practitioner, meaning I pull metals out of people, and I used to never see, for example, uranium. Uranium's radioactive, and it will cause cancers in humans. And I think they're spraying it because I'm seeing it in everybody now. And so, you know, these metals, when we're inhaling them and we're inhaling the polymers, that in itself will give you upper respiratory tract symptoms that will look like the flu, and people get brain fog and they don't feel right, and allergy symptoms. And it's just all this pollution. And it's in the food supply, too, because as soon as it's being sprayed, you know, any fields, the plants are absorbing it, the species are dying from it. So that's a super big crime against humanity.
Right. Last time I talked to you, it was like right before I started growing my, got a little garden back here. And so I got a greenhouse because I made sure that if they spray something on top, maybe it won't like, you know, just want to go through. So I'm hoping that works. Okay, let's talk about any solutions that you see. Like what can we do about the food? What can we do about the microplastics? What can we do about the metals? Because I remember you said EDTA, right? Chelation treatment works. And what would you give to just like the common person that we could do to help us out?
Yeah, so since we last talked, what happened was I actually found a Moderna patent, and in the patent, it talks about how the nanoparticles self-assemble. And it says if you want to stop it, you do exactly what I actually have been doing for the last 3 years, which is you use EDTA with vitamin C and vitamin E. And the other molecule I mentioned was malic acid. Malic acid is something that comes from apples. And so basically, you know, you can combine these things because a polymer is like a chain of Legos. And if you want to give it the signal to start, you know, putting the Legos together, it requires a combination of metals. One is aluminum, which they're spraying plenty of, and they also found in the vials. And the other one is stuff like titanium or yttrium, which we also found in the vials. So these types of metals, they then combine, and then bam, the plastic rubbery stuff starts growing. So because we weren't able to really dissolve the rubbery big clots, what I was saying is like, okay, you know, if we try to detox as much as we can the building blocks, then at least we can help somewhat with that. There's this stuff called humic and fulvic acid as well. That detoxifies graphene, and it also pulls out metals. And one of the things that we found is because all of this stuff hijacks electricity from the cells, you got to give electricity back to regenerate the person. Otherwise, they just get more and more tired. So right. The humic and fulvic acid is also very helpful for that. And then in terms of, here's the issue with the devices. Any type of EMF makes this stuff grow. And, you know, cell phones, even in the off position, they monitor you all the time. They can send you frequency in the off position. I got rid of my cell phone. And I, you know, I got one of those cheap track phones. And I got that you take the lithium battery out. I don't even turn it on anymore. I'm so happy without a phone. You won't believe it.
I know. It's hard to do, but it works. Yes.
Oh my God. So, but the other thing is, you know, like putting Ethernet cables in terms of instead of having Wi-Fi, because like Dr. David Nixon, he showed clearly, it's like the microchips develop when they're close to a router. You know, if you put a Faraday bag over it, the chips dissolve. And so I think that we must really understand that the radiation is part of the weapon, trying to get out of the cities, because we're trying to make these smart cities, and the smart cities are going to be bombarded with the 5G radiation, and that will not only make you sick, but also control your mind. And then, you know, if you can get well water, if you can get a patch of land outside of the city and have your own water, if not, in terms of the water, what's been shown is if you boil tap water, then the heat makes the plastic grow large enough so that you can filter it. And then you can remove, you know, over 90% of the nanoparticles like that. It's a lot of work, but your health is worth it, you know. And here's the other thing about that. The issue is, you know, I was trying to clean the blood. And, you know, initially, like a year ago, I mean, it worked beautifully. Like one IV of chelation, I already saw improvement. Now the blood looks like a mess in almost everybody because it's in the food supply. It's in the water. We're inhaling it. And so, you know, it's harder and harder to detoxify it. So limiting the amount of exposure. I no longer eat meat. It's because I looked at the meat on the microscope, and fact is, it doesn't matter if it's organic or not. You know, every vaccine has this stuff in it. It grows in the beef and stuff. So it's challenging, but we have to understand this is a war from the nanoscale up, and, you know, who's going to survive and who's going to make it is basically, you know, who can at least stay as clean as possible. Because in the microplastic studies, like, they did biopsies of people who had coronary artery bypass graft, and they found like 9 different plastics inside of the heart muscle, inside of the pericardium, meaning it's going into the tissues and fusing there with the tissues.
Wow.
So how does, if we get rid of the metals, do they just dissolve in our body, or is there a way that it comes out through our skin, our pores?
No, so the metals, like this EDTA stuff, is a molecule that grabs the metals, and then you pee them out. It comes out through your urine, you know? Okay. And I tell people, don't use the zeolite, because, you know, in the military documents, it says they want to create a silicone-based, neural network, basically, inside of people. And the zeolite is aluminum, which makes the polymers grow, and silicone. So we found in some of the vials, some of the measurements showed 30% silicone. It's a key ingredient of the technology because it's a semiconductors. And so this is why I would just be a little bit careful, you know. Processed food, it has all this titanium oxide and all this stuff in there. Try to stay away from it. So I like the fact that, you know, Prince Carl has like his greenhouse. That's exactly right, you know. So, you know, we do what we can, at least, you know, if you become aware of it. Vitamin C is a chelator. Meaning, when you're inhaling stuff, that's your first line of defense, and I recommend pretty high doses, up to 10,000 milligrams. And then the other one that I found helps really well, you know, I was drawing people's blood, just 30 milliliters, and even in the unvaccinated, if I left it overnight, it would develop into a rubbery clot. With methylene blue, which is an ultraviolet blue dye that we use for anti-aging, it wasn't developing. And I looked at the literature, and it turns out they're using hydrogel to get methylene blue out of wastewater, okay, because it binds so well. So I was like, okay, wait, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to use methylene blue to bind hydrogel to clean the body. And that actually also has been helpful in helping people. So, you know, all these different ways. Activated charcoal is something that can help prevent, you know, help you with the EMF radiation and also remediation in terms of stuff. Sauerkraut, you know, and kimchi will help your gut microbiome because they're part of what eats plastic, but you need to support them because our microbiome is being attacked, and sauerkraut works wonders, you know, so... those kinds of things are some of the things you can do.
Wow. See, I got my This is my Faraday bag right here.
All right.
Wow, that is, oh my gosh. I had, okay, so what's the name of, you said methylene blue, like what's, how do you spell that?
Oh, so it's methylene, methylene, and then blue, and it's a blue dye. It's going to make you pee blue, and I like the one from Global Healing. They're making an awesome one. It's a kind of a liquid one, and so anyways, those are kind of some of the things.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Can you talk about the, we're almost out of time. Can you talk about the story about, let's see, the story that you, the unvaccinated person that turned magnetic. What? Like, oh my gosh. I couldn't believe that she had the scissors up to her and she turned magnetic and she was unvaccinated. She worked at the hospital, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so the magnetism, like very, very strongly, was about for 3 weeks, you know. And the problem is, obviously, the healthcare workers, the unvaccinated ones, they're constantly exposed to shedding. Here you have people who got like 6 shots. And again, this stuff transfers, you know. And this is why some of the people, they have literally vaccine injury symptoms. I mean, they have brain fog and heart palpitations and all of that. So eventually that improves. The reason why this magnetism is so important, there was a researcher, Dr. Wodkowiak in Poland, and she does a very unusual form of spectroscopy. It's called torsion spectroscopy, that's able to look at antimatter. So we have matter, and then we have antimatter, which is like invisible, okay? And she found that the vaccinated individuals who are magnetic are literally being transformed in their antimatter self. And if you read my Substack, I'm all interested also about the spiritual aspect of that. That's sort of the unseen spiritual aspect, meaning there's a transformation happening, that we don't know about. But what people do notice is, okay, people's personality is changing. They feel like they can't quite connect to God in their prayer. They don't, they feel spiritually disconnected. And this was a scientific way of actually documenting, well, there's seriously something happening. Mm.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Okay. So there's been a lot of, first of all, we just want to thank you once again for coming on, because there's been a lot of information. I know I'm gonna be sleeping in my bed tonight, and I'm gonna be like, man, I got like 20 questions. but this is wonderful. I wanna ask you one question that we skipped over, and then we'll end it. I know you said that if a person who's unvaccinated, they breathe in the same air as a person who's vaccinated, and they can actually, the unvaccinated person can actually vaccinate another person. If a person who's unvaccinated has sexual contact with a person that's vaccinated, have you studied how that works? Is COVID-19 or vaccinations like the new, like, sexually transmitted disease?
Yeah, well, or the breathably transmitted disease. So what I've seen is definitely, in partners, one is vaxxed, one isn't. It's very interesting because, unfortunately, what I've seen is that the unvaccinated one sometimes is the one who exhibits the vaccine injury symptoms. And I've seen turbo cancers and people seen die, in their 40s, So I definitely, the blood is completely vaccinated. So if you have sexual contact with a vaccinated person, you are vaccinated because, the body fluids are completely exchanged. But what I'm trying to say is, if you look at the occupational exposure in the Pfizer document, it says, it is considered an adverse event if a healthcare provider comes in contact with a vaccinated individual and they had to report it. It was so dangerous. During that time. And then, we also have the whole aspect of, there was a study that showed children who are not vaccinated with COVID vaccine, but the parents are, they had full antibody immune response as if they were vaxxed. Then we had a for example, case where a vaccinated mother had gotten the shot, and 2 days later, the baby that she was breastfeeding died of vaccine-induced thrombocytosis. Meaning that it's a very specific vaccine side effect, and the baby wasn't vaccinated, but the mother was, and the baby got it through the breast milk and killed the baby.
Wow.
Wow.
So shedding is real. And
right. Yeah. Wow. Thank you again for coming on. Any last things that you want to say? Tell everybody where to find you at. You got any events coming up?
So they can find me at my Substack, annamihajamdphd.substack.com. I have my weekly show, my own, and the reason, you know, I put that out is also, you know, to really show my own findings so that people can see it all visual and stay informed. Don't give up hope. You have to fight, you know. You have to fight for your own life, inform yourself, do what you can in terms of detoxification, and I think that the spiritual outlook and being hopeful and having faith and being spiritually connected is very, very important for all of this.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.